I'm just looking out to the congregation. I wasn't expecting so many and such a variety. Jesus speaks about old and new. I see some old and new. I mean, children and seniors, yes. So anyway, welcome to all of you. This is First Friday, and on First Fridays, we have special devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Yeah, he's there in front of the altar, an image of the Sacred Heart. Actually, that's a combination, if you ever look at that image, combination of the Divine Mercy image, and on it, Father Francis included a Sacred Heart. It's kind of a combination of the two devotions, which are the same, still the same Lord and Savior. And I think this devotion to the Sacred Heart can give us a way into these readings. We'll try to put this together in a way that makes sense. First of all, Sacred Heart, I mean, the center of it is love, right? Divine love. That's what the heart reveals, is love, and that's what we're celebrating. And I said we're offering a votive mass in honor of the Most Sacred Heart. And that makes sense to pretty much everybody. I mean, that love, and God loves us, and we should love him in return. Okay. But then people ask, well, what's this business about First Fridays and nine First Fridays and different aspects of the devotion? So, of course, God loves us on Thursdays and other days. And he doesn't need nine. And it's not to be considered rigid or magical. I think the way to understand this is that love, I mean, God is love all the time, and he's all love. But we're not love all the time, and we don't love that well. So we need physical or tangible reminders and aids to keep us on track. So this idea of nine First Fridays, it doesn't change it if you make 10 or 11 or 5. What matters is, are you persistent? Are you persevering? Are you consistent in your love? And if we know ourselves, we realize we're not that consistent. In the first month, you say, yes, I love the Lord, and I'm going to follow the Lord. I'm going to do whatever he asks. And the second month, you say, I said that last month. Third month, you say, well, I forgot. I mean, I not no no sin. I just didn't think of it. Friday came up, and I was busy. And then the fifth or eighth month, you say, well, I don't feel like it. And this is it. We have, in a human experience, ups and downs. So God doesn't have that. But we do. So we need things to help us on track. Stay on track. Love. So, yes, nine First Fridays, yes. Do it. If you miss one, start again and use it as a way to strengthen and express your love in a human way. We need these things. We need deadlines. We need schedules. We need things to keep us on track. And married people know this. I mean, if you're married, you wear a ring. Maybe some people don't wear rings anymore, but I mean, a ring doesn't make you love more. It doesn't do anything in a sense, but on the other hand, it does. It reminds you that you're married. It shows everybody else you're married, and it does have effect. It doesn't change God, and it doesn't change our relationship with our spouse, but it's a help. And so when people say, I don't need a certificate, I don't need a ceremony, I don't need rings and vows, well, yes, you do. Yes, we do. That's it. And when people say the church has all these rules about marriage, well, yeah, God doesn't need those. We need them. Okay, so that's my point about this business of the Sacred Heart. It's love is not only spiritual, because we're not only spiritual. And God became man so that we would have human ways to connect with him. He has a heart. God was always love, but when he became flesh, he had a human heart too. That's what we honor today. Okay, so let's look at these scriptures. If you are not familiar with this gospel or this kind of gospel, it might be a bit difficult, because so many things come up and it can make you dizzy. Fasting. They ask about fasting. He brings up marriage. Then he brings up clothing repair, then he brings up storage of wine. And so what is this? What are all these things? And like I say, we have to get used to symbolic language, but remember, Jesus is conveying divine principles in human language, which is how we experience it. So the business of fasting makes sense to anybody who's, well, actually any religion. Every religion has some kind of fasting because we need discipline. In heaven, there's no fasting because we don't need that kind of self-discipline. Here, we need fasting. We need some kind of self-denial because our tendency is to go out of bounds. And so they bring up the question, well, everybody else fasts. The disciples of John the Baptist fast, the disciples of the Pharisees fast, your disciples don't. Now, the implication is they're not doing it right, they're not following the rules. And Jesus, instead of saying, well, there's times to fast and not to fast, he brings up this business about wedding guests, which at first has to seem like a sudden change of topic, right? Talking about fasting, why did you bring up wedding guests? Well, it's a deliberate contrast, right? Nobody fasts at a wedding, reception, or a banquet. It's not the right time to fast. It's the time to celebrate. And his point is, of course, the bridegroom is here, meaning Jesus himself. So it's not time to fast. It's time to celebrate the presence of God in our midst. He does add that there will be times of fasting. So this is what I mean about the ups and downs of life and this and the human rhythms and human expressions of love. And every love relationship is sometimes a feast and sometimes a fast. If we love someone when we're enjoying that relationship, it's a feast. And when we're in a difficulty, which happens, then it's a fast. And then we have to die to ourselves to make the relationship live. So that's part of what he's doing here. But then all of a sudden he brings up this business about patching a cloak. And you say, what? What does that have to do with marriage or fasting or whatever? And then the wineskins. Well, he's again, deliberately putting before us in human terms things that can make us think differently about something that we might have thought we already understood, which we don't. So he says, this business of newness and oldness applies to our relationship with God, with the arrival of the bridegroom. We're old, even you, young children. We're all old by our nature. We have our old ways, our natural ways, and we have to let go of what is old in order to welcome Jesus Christ into our life. There's always that's fasting, right? There's always something to be given up in order to welcome the newness of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's why we don't take pieces of a new cloak and put on an old cloak, or we don't mix new wine and old wine, because it doesn't work. Get rid of all the old stuff and be made new to have a new relationship with God. We saw it yesterday, was it yesterday? Yeah, Simon Peter encountered Jesus in the boat and Jesus said, well, after this big catch of fish that he had, Jesus said, well, from now on, you're going to be fishers of men. Well, if you're going to be fishers of men, you don't need that boat anymore. You don't need those nets. You've got another boat, the church. You have other nets. So leave all that behind and come follow me. That's the example of old and new, right? And all of us this isn't a one-time thing. All of us are in the process of letting go or dying to or fasting from old stuff that we keep dragging along, and we keep letting that go and then taking on the newness. So that's part of the Christian life. I don't know if I'm making that clear, but I hope that's helpful. Let's take a few thoughts from the first reading. St. Paul is talking to the Corinthians about our role, all of us, as stewards, as servants of God. He says that we are servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Now, why do the mysteries of God need any stewards at all? God doesn't need anything, right? He does everything perfectly. Well, again, it's because of the human condition, the natural condition, the territory into which God has poured his love or revealed his sacred heart. And now we have to take care of this. We have to give it proper expression. And so we're all stewards, we're all servants, and there's lots of practical elements to it, including coming to Mass on First Friday. That's not just a spiritual action. It's a physical action. You got in your car or you walked down the street and you came into a little hot chapel on a Friday morning. And that's not just a spiritual thing. We're not angels. We have bodies and we live in time. And so we have to do that's part of being a steward. But then Paul brings up this business of judgment. He says, don't judge me. I don't even judge myself. Judgment belongs to the Lord. Why does he stress that? Because that part belongs to God. That is a spiritual thing. That kind of judgment, that reading of a person's spiritual condition or our own spiritual condition, that belongs to God. And so don't do that. Don't act like you know everything or look at people the way you think God should look at them. Let go of that and let God be in charge of judgment. And then he says at the end, okay, therefore, do not make any judgment before the appointed time until the Lord comes, for he will bring to light what is hidden in darkness. This is at the end time, right? At the final, at the second coming of the Lord, everything will be made clear, including what's going on in our hearts that we ourselves don't see. And everybody's motives and everybody's actions will all be made clear, what is hidden in darkness, and will manifest the motives of our hearts. Now, there's hearts again. Just talking about honoring the Sacred Heart. Well, our hearts are supposed to become more and more like Jesus' heart and Mary's heart. Hearts full of love. Hearts full of selfless, sacrificial love. And that will all become clear eventually at the end. And then everyone will receive praise from God. That's a beautiful thing. Everyone will receive praise from God, yes, but some people receive more than others because some people love more than others. We can't measure that now, so don't even try. But the time will come when the Lord makes everything manifest in a divine way. We're not there, so in the meantime, we keep fasting, we keep setting aside old ways, we keep welcoming the new wine of the gospel. And we keep serving as stewards of the mysteries of God. So with Jesus' love revealed to us, with Jesus' love poured into our hearts, we can persevere. Amen.